John the Baptist sees Jesus and tells his own disciples, "Here is the Lamb of God." At this, they go after him. I can picture the disciples of John the Baptist sort of sheepishly following behind Jesus. Maybe they didn't quite know how to get the conversation going. I mean, what exactly should you say to the Lamb of God? I can see these two discussing with each other. Should we just go up to him? What should we say? You ask him. No, maybe you should speak first. You're better at it. Then Jesus turned around and preached a sermon to them. No, that's not what he did. Jesus turned around and asked them a question. One of those questions that could be superficial or it could be philosophical. Jesus said, "What are you looking for?" The two disciples did not say, "We are looking for the Messiah, the Lamb of God," even though they were. The disciples played it safe and answered the superficial meaning of the question. They said it tentatively, "So where are you staying?" And Jesus met them right where they were and said, "Come and see. Come and see." And then as we proceed in the gospel account, these two disciples testify just as John did. They all in turn point to Jesus. Andrew goes to his brother Simon with the exciting news, "We have found the Messiah." Andrew is convinced of this. Now we have the question before us today. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? It is a good question, especially if we consider it as a philosophical question rather than, "I wish I could find some red shoes to go with this outfit. I'm looking for red shoes." But instead, as a deeper question of the heart, what is it then that you are looking for? Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., whose birthday we honor tomorrow, gave himself to the task of answering the deeper meaning of that question. He said, "We are looking for justice and freedom. We are looking for equality and fair treatment under the law. Most of all, we just want to be free, we and our children after us. We are looking for what this country promises." There was a clear turning point in the civil rights movement. It wasn't a particular speech or demonstration. It wasn't the "I Have a Dream" speech, though that was an eloquent speech and a beautiful vision that Dr. King gave us. The turning point wasn't even Bloody Sunday, when on March 7, 1965, peaceful demonstrators on the Edward Pettus Bridge were brutally attacked by the police. Instead, scholars say that the turning point in the civil rights movement was when people across America, in the North and in the South alike, watched on their black and white living room television set little Negro children trapped against the side of a brick building being blasted with a fire hose. That is when the nation collectively woke up and said, "Stop it." The violence was shocking in its cruelty and also its target. So shocking you couldn't simply turn away, you couldn't just shut your eyes. The callous and heartless people who wielded the fire hose thought everyone felt the way they did. They assumed most everyone would go along with that. And they were wrong. We are in a similar moment now. This time, I wonder if we have a higher tolerance for cruelty, or maybe culturally we have become numb to violence. This time, it seems there will be no rescue from the federal government. Our government is attacking its own people in the name of immigration reform. It is vindictive and a brutal attack on all of us and on the rule of law. What is happening in Minneapolis is heartbreaking and it's frightening. Some of them have said, since no one is going to rescue us, we will need to take care of each other. Ordinary people reaching out a hand of mercy. I have it on good authority. That is what is happening on the ground. Neighbors taking care of neighbors, helping each other out, while witnessing the cruelty and the lies. My good authority is my nieces and nephews. Just as in the civil rights movement, there is for us as well unity, connectedness, and hope to be found in singing together. That is why we sing, lift every voice and sing at the end of our service today. Not only because this majestic hymn is considered the Black national anthem, but because the lyrics speak a word to our hearts in these difficult times. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who hast brought us thus far on the way, thou who hast by thy might led us to the light, keep us forever in the path, we pray. That is what we need. That is what we are looking for. In this moment, we need a modern-day Dr. King to lead us out of this quagmire, a Dorothy Day or a Cesar Chavez. I am praying for such a person, for such an American to step into the abyss, take us by the hand, and lead us out of this. Maybe it is James Tallarico or David Hogg who have the advantage of being white. Or maybe Stacey Abrams. Maybe such a leader is not a politician at all. Maybe it will be a preacher, or a farm worker, or a teacher, or a nurse. Maybe that leader is you. I'm looking for that. I'm praying for that. Yea, storming the heavens for the Holy Spirit to assist us. To Jesus and his mother Mary, I'm praying to St. Peter and St. Andrew and St. Martin too. To Jesus with healing in his wings, because the bruised reed he shall not break, the smoldering wick he shall not quench, until justice should roll down like a river and mercy like an ever-flowing stream. To take away the sin of the world, he lifts me out of the desolate pit, out of the mire and clay, and puts a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. That is what I am looking for. Yes, that is what I am looking for.